Good morning. Welcome to the House of the Lord. We're glad you're here. We're few in number, but we have a warm spirit and heart inside, and we're grateful for a chance to come together and to worship and to praise the Lord. You're on time, so we're going to start on time, and hopefully maybe a few others will come here. Maybe they forgot to set their clocks, but we'll trust that others will show up as we continue. So we want to begin with just some announcements. You'll see some of these are printed on your back of your bulletin. Of course, just recognizing Thursday is St. Patrick's Day, and if you didn't know, this was one of the ways that St. Patrick was able to influence the whole island of Ireland by teaching about God, and he used the shamrock, which is their native plant there, to illustrate the unity of God, the Trinity of God. And so wanted to remember that and share that with you today. Also, I'm sure you're aware of the crisis in the Ukraine. We want to continue to pray for peace. It is the Church of the Brethren's position that all war is sin, and certainly we can see that as we see the refugees and the trouble that's taking place over there right now. And so we want to pray for them, encourage you to give. There's several organizations that are collecting for help and relief for them. But we want to pray that war would end and there'd be less bloodshed. Also, we just want to encourage you as we continue to go through Lenten season here. This is a time of preparation for Easter. So I hope that you'll do those preparations and be ready. Before we know it, it won't look white outside. It'll be spring, and spring is on its way and Easter right behind. So we look forward to sharing in Easter together. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share today? All right. Not hearing anything else, so we will begin our worship. And I believe we have a musical prelude.
Thank you.
Amen. Amazing grace and an amazing setting, amazing performer. Would you pray with me, please? God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to gather in your name to worship you. And we pray your Holy Spirit indeed would be present and help us, Lord, to give you the praise and the honor and the glory that you so deserve. And so teach us anew, Lord, from your word this day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to stand. We're going to share together in song. And the words are on the sheet here that hopefully you received. Did you get one? Lost our connection here. We'll have to reconnect for just a second. We are grateful for technology and the advantages that it gives to us and those that understand how to use it. Beautiful name. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. We have a chance to share together our joys and concerns and pray together, and so we'd like to hear what's on your heart today. Understand that things are going well for Steve now. Steve Wolf had surgery and feeling a little better. So praise God for that. Yes, Linda?
And Bob. He's doing good.
Bob is getting around.
But he still needs our prayers. Okay. He's got that back problem. Just won't go away.
Thank you. Prayers for Danny.
I want to keep packing up prayers too. She's having a lot of trouble with her leg, her knee.
Okay. All right, Sister Pratt.
And the situation over there, Ukraine, Russia.
Others. I'm sure there's others on your heart and mind. We'll bring them before the Lord. So let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Thank you that you give us the privilege to come before you, come into your throne room this day. Thank you, Lord, we can come with boldness, not because of our own efforts or merits, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so in the name of Jesus, the beautiful name, Lord, we present our petitions to you. Lord, would you hear what's on our hearts, in our minds. God, we ask that you might move mightily in the names that have been lifted up here together. Thank you, Lord, for surgeries and for healing. Thank you, Lord, for the skill of doctor's hands. We pray for recovery. We pray for strength and wholeness. We pray for your comfort for those who lost loved ones. We pray for extra strength for those that are continuing to struggle. Lord, we know our world is a needy place, and particularly the attention on Ukraine. Lord, we just can't fathom what it would be like to be forced to leave our homes. Over 2.5 million refugees now. Half of them children. God, would you intervene? Would you move mightily? Thank you, Lord, for the relief efforts and for the volunteers and for those that are reaching out, trying to help. God, would you do a good thing in the midst of this tragedy? So we pray, Lord, for peace. We pray for the end of the war. We pray your will would be done. We think of our country here, Lord, and we ask that your hand would be upon our government, our leaders, the coming election this fall, Lord. We just pray, Lord, you would raise up those who are godly and that you would remove from office those who are not. God, we are grateful for your many blessings to us, and we know spring is around the corner. Thank you, Lord, for the flowers that are coming up. We thank you for your many blessings of health and wholeness this week. We pray you would continue to keep a hedge of protection around our family and our friends. So we ask your blessing upon each family represented in this congregation. So we pray you over the directory, Lord. We ask that you would bless each name represented in this little booklet. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. And we pray together as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to have our second song here today. You can refer to your song sheet, or I believe the words might be on the screen.
The next one we'll be singing is Who Am I?
I invite you to stand.
Who am I?
You may be seated. Some beautiful images there of Christ. Our scripture reading for today comes from Philippians 3. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Would you pray for me, please? God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your blessings upon us. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. We ask that you might move in the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts now. Lord, would you accomplish your will as your word goes forth? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was one of Doris's kids. That's what she used to call us, even when we were grown up. She would call us her kids, her campers. This week I got a surprise letter in the mail that brought back a lot of good memories. It was memories of my first camp counselor, Doris. She was there when I first went to Camp Ader in Fairfield many years ago. She was a proud member of the Church of the Brethren and a farmer's wife, and we became close over the years. She died in April 2019, and her daughter hadn't been in touch for a long time, suddenly found these pictures that she was going through, some of her things, and came across them, thought I'd like to have them, and so she sent them with a nice note this week. What a surprise, and it just really warmed my heart to remember that reunion that we had with her there on her Pennsylvania farm with her kids. She had a time for all the kids that she had at camp. She invited us to her farm. You know, her love for the Lord and steadfastness of faith made her such a likable person. And she was witty. She had a down-home sense of humor and spin on life. She reminded very much of Doris Baker. Dorothy Baker just seemed like just a picture of her. Doris stood fast for the Lord until the end. And what a blessing that is. I wonder, are you standing fast in the Lord? You know, with aging and even with the winter weather, there are often concerns about falling. We have to watch out for falls as we get older. And usually a fall takes us by surprise. And the health consequences can be long-term. Friday, we got word that a friend of ours had fallen. When I first came to Frederick back in BVS in 79, the church of the Frederick Church hosted me, and one of the families from the church provided a shelter for me. And so I went to live with the Hallecks, and Mary Edith became a second mom to me. And I lived with them for 2 years while serving in BVS at Frederick. And Friday, she fell and broke her hip. And I understand that she waited, sat in a chair and waited for a while until her son came. And then he's like, Mom, you got to go to the hospital. And so he then saw that she got in and she had surgery yesterday and came through with flying colors. She begins the process of healing and getting well again. It's been said that there are an infinity of angles at which one falls, only one angle at which one stands. So how firm of a footing is your life on? Are you watching your step? When you hear of something as a shock, or when there are things are going on around you, when you come under fire, do you remain firm? Are you standing fast in the Lord? The scripture for today, the second Sunday of Lent, is a Paul's letter to the believers at Philippi, and he lovingly calls them to stand fast in the Lord. Our text for today says, "Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and so stand fast in the Lord, brethren." These are words that are written from prison. From prison, he's encouraging those believers in Philippi to stand fast, to remain faithful. I hope that you hear Paul's heart for them. As a love of a spiritual father for his spiritual children, he encouraging them to stand fast. It's like the kind of a desire that a parent has for their children, or a teacher has for her students to do well and to be blessed and to succeed. Barclay, a commentator, writes these words for this section. It says, "Through this passage breathes the warmth of Paul's affection for his Philippian friends. He loves them and he yearns for them. They are his joy and crown. Those whom he had brought to Christ are his greatest joy when the shadows are closing about him. Any teacher knows what a thrill it is to point at someone who has done well and to be able to say, 'That was one of my boys.'" That was Doris's attitude about her kids. They were one of my kids. Once in a while, I hear my mom say that. She'll be talking about me to someone and say, "He's a preacher. My son, the preacher." It's a great joy to be used of God to share in leading someone to the Lord. The Apostle John wrote to Gaius saying, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And Paul says here that those who have come to faith in Christ, that they are my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown. The kind of crown that Paul is referring to here is a little different than we might think of. Usually we think of the kind of crown that a king would wear, a diadem, a royal crown. But instead, there are another word that's used here, and it's called Stephanias, and it refers to two other kinds of crowns. There's the crown that is given to a victorious athlete. Back in the Greek games, this was the coveted trophy. This was the reward of winning the event, and it was made of wild olive leaves, and it was interwoven with green parsley and bay leaves. And this was given to crown the victor during the peak of the athlete's competition. The ancient Greek games, as we know, is the Olympics. And today, the awarding of the gold, silver, and bronze medals at the Olympics resemble this achievement. But the other kind of crown that's referred to is the one that guests wore back then, when they were invited to a special party or banquet, and they would come with great joy and given a crown to wear during the banquet. And this was probably what Paul was referring to. Barclay says again, "And it is as if Paul said that the Philippians were the crown of all of his toil. It is as if he said that at the final banquet of God, they were his festal crown. There is no joy in the world like bringing another soul to Jesus Christ." So he tells these believers, ones that he shared the gospel with and they came to faith, he tells them to stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Steko. It means to be stationary, to preserve. It implies persisting in any purpose or enterprise, to continue on, to strive in spite of opposition or difficulty. That's what we need to do, to stand first, stand firm, stand fast. It's not so much about being stubborn. Actually, stubborn is kind of the opposite. Being stubborn is not godly. characteristic that we want to achieve. Stubbornness is the inflexibility in opinion or intention, determined to have one's own way, opinionated, unyielding, headstrong, obstinate. Inflexibility to decline to change a chosen position, a line of behavior, or an opinion, especially when this attitude is unreasonable or it's hard to get rid of or it's not responding to treatment. That's what being stubborn is. But instead, Paul here is saying that we should stand fast, to stand firm. To be firm is not yielding readily to the touch or pressure. Suddenly composed, stable, enduring, constant, resolute. To stand fast is to adhere firmly and faithfully to a principle, a course of action, to be unchanging, to be fixed, to be firm. Paul uses the word here, stecho, to stand fast, and it implies the kind of steadfastness that a soldier had to have, to stand fast in the shock of battle, when the enemy was surging down around them. We've seen a few scenes on TV in the news of Ukrainian men standing fast against the unrelenting Russian soldiers, their bombardment and the tanks. And I think Putin has been a little bit surprised at how firm they have stand fast. And their president is saying that they're going to continue until the end. They're going to hold as far as stand firm as long as they can. We should remember our scripture for this morning that Paul is instructing them to watch out for a slippery slope. We need to be careful. When things are going around us in crazy ways, when our culture goes awry, when there's war, we need to stand fast. The scriptures give us examples of men who have stood fast. There was Job. He said this about his religious life. Job said, "My foot hath held its steps, his way I have kept, and not declined." Then there was the prophet of God who refused to take a reward from King Joab at Bethel. There was King Joash who stood fast in his duties and did what was right in the sight of the Lord. There was Daniel. Remember his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The captives who wouldn't bow down to the king, Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. And of course Christ, who stood fast. It said that he set his face toward Jerusalem and to the cross to pay the penalty of our sins and to win for us salvation. We see Peter and John in the New Testament who steadfastly spoke of the things that they had seen and heard regarding Christ when ordered not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And of course, Paul, who's writing these words, he strove to stand fast to finish the course that was set before him, and he did so with joy. Here to the Philippians, he wanted them to stand fast in the Lord. And that phrase, in the Lord, is very particular. Three times he uses this here in this short letter to Philippians. And Barkate writes these words. He says, "Only with Jesus Christ that we can succeed or resist the temptations of temptation and the weakness of cowardice. We know very well that there are some people in whose company it is easy to do the wrong thing, and there are some in whose company it is easy to resist the wrong thing. Sometimes when we look back and remember some time when we took the wrong turn or fell to temptation or shunned ourselves, we say wistfully, thinking of someone whom we love, 'If only he had been there, I would never have happened. If only so-and-so would have been there, it would have never happened.' So our only safety against temptation is to be in the Lord, always feeling his presence around us and about us. The church and the individual Christian can stand fast only when they stand in Christ." A little bit later here, Paul writes to this two ladies in the church, and he encourages them to agree in the Lord. He encouraged them to stand fast. They each had their own opinion, but it was important for them to stand together for the sake of the fellowship. And Paul bid the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. It is the one thing all of us really need to learn, that it is the joy that has the important thing. You know, it's nothing to do with material things or circumstances that cause us joy. It is when we know others around us are growing in the Lord. And Paul probably tells us the same thing in this passage. We could assume that he's writing to us as well. To stand fast, to agree, to rejoice in the Lord. Some years ago, the Brethren came out with a devotional called Fresh from the Word, and different pastors were invited to write on a text, the devotional for the day. And Larry Foreman here wrote about this portion of Scripture, and I like what he says, so I'm going to read it to you. And he's quoting Philippians 27 through 29. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. For God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Paul was writing from prison, urging Christians to be faithful to Christ no matter what may take place in the future. They were to live their lives in such a way that their testimony would bring honor to the one whose name they bore. They were to strive to maintain unity even in the face of opposition and suffered for the cause of Christ. God gives us the gift of salvation, believing in Christ. God also gives us the gift of suffering, opposition because of faith in Christ. We usually think of suffering as something hurtful and ask God to take it away. But often God will use suffering to develop character in us. We don't need to pray to lose it. Instead, pray that God will see fit to use it. We do not normally consider suffering a blessing, but Paul considered it a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ. Suffering has several benefits. It takes our eyes off our earthly comforts. It strengthens the faith of those who endure it. And it serves as a helpful example to those who follow. Physical suffering or suffering for Christ does not mean that we have done something wrong in of Christ, which he declares in Philippians 2:5. Christ does not grasp power or glory for himself, but empties himself even unto the cross. This standing firm in the Lord is this way, is made possible not only by imitating Paul, but by observing those who live according to the example. The Spirit encourages and strengthens us inwardly for our daily walk when we pay attention to the example of Christ as seen in men and women of faith who have gone on before us. Think of someone who has influenced your life in a positive way. What is it about their life and faith that has challenged you? Carry this memory with you through the day and be thankful. This is what people like Doris does for me, to remember her steadfastness and her faith. He encourages us for in our walk with the Lord. And so therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you here at Monocacy to stand fast, to stand firm. I urge you to stand fast in the Lord. You know, the changing culture, the climate in which we live, the times in which we strive, our society's values are changing drastically. We see change all around us. Are we standing firm? Are we standing fast? How are you doing? To stand fast in what God wants, to stand fast in God's will, to stand fast in what he's called you to do. And so are you a covenant keeper? Are you standing firm in your promises, the vows that you have made, your responsibilities, your commitments? to stand fast, to stand on fidelity, to stand on honesty, to stand on integrity? Does your list of character qualities include perseverance, endurance, patience? Do you stand for the institution of marriage? Do you stand for the family? Do you stand for life? Do you stand for faith? I'm not talking about being stubborn. I'm not talking about standing in your own strength. I'm talking about living and walking and talking about the Lord. To yield to Him, to yield to His will, to yield to His ways. To love Christ with all of our heart. That was what St. Patrick was all about. And to remember those who have gone on before. To remember our forefathers and our foremothers and what they went through. An example that they left for us. It should encourage us and inspire us for the days in which we have to live. You know, our true citizenship is in heaven. And our time here on earth is very short. We're not on vacation. We're not on holiday. This life is a short period of preparation for the life to come. In a sense, we're just visiting. We're just temporary dwellings. And we're going to leave these shells behind when we go home. We're going to be strong in the Lord and to stand fast. And so we want to watch out for all the things that would sidetrack us. Carnality, gluttony, worldliness. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to, in a sense, subdue us, to make us more like Christ each day. And so it's Lent. We're getting ready for Easter. And we want to encourage you this morning with the words of the Apostle Paul to stand fast in the Lord. Time keeps moving on, and it's going to be a short time when my time here is going to be over, and I would encourage you to stand fast, to stand firm in the Lord, to continue the ministry here on the ridge for the sake of the Lord, to stand fast. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stand fast in the Lord. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, you're the Almighty God, you're the King of the universe, and we come to you in the name of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Your arm is strong, and you support us in difficult times, and you walk beside us along life's way. And so, God, I ask that you would forgive us for the times we've tried to do things in our own power, in our own strength. Help us, Lord, to do things in the strength of the Spirit. Help us to rely totally on you and on your power, to live out your love and to see if there are those who walk before us, to remember them, to follow their example. And so, Lord, we pray that you would break the power of the evil one, break the power of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the eye that looks to anything else but besides you. God, would you make us new? Transform us. Conform us to your image. I pray that you would bless each one that's here today with spiritual power to have done all to stand firm, to be steadfast in the faith we profess until the end. May we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And so bless this fellowship, we pray, in the year ahead. And for this we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll close our worship here with one more song. And we'll get that up here on the screen in just a second.
song today will be Red Letters. Please join me and stand.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your grace. We ask, Lord, you might move mightily. We pray, Father, that your will would be done. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Shalom. Have a good week in the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Maxine.